Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. So, you know, ever since George Zimmerman, and we all remember the murder of Trayvon Martin. And, you know, as I said at that time, you know, we have now moved into a very bizarre era in our country's history where I can start a fight, get my behind kicked, and then kill you because I feel threatened. It's completely, you know, out of the realm of my mindset of when I was a kid. You didn't start a fight because you might get your butt kicked. And if you started the fight, maybe you should have gotten your butt kicked because maybe you deserved it. Now we've gone with all these gun nuts and all of these new gun policies and all of this stuff just completely off the deep end. Look, I'm not against people truly defending themselves, but you do have people who go out who are looking for nothing but trouble. Which is why I've asked my next guest to come talk with us, share some thoughts on his most recent piece, Why I Might Have to Kill You, our good friend Brett Pransky. Brett, thanks for taking time for us. So whatever you do, please don't kill me. Yeah, I'm not hearing him. Yep, I'm still not hearing him. And while we work on the tech issue there to try and get Brett on, I go back to that moment, you know, the whole Trayvon Martin thing, to where you go, you know, at some point, you know, do you not pass laws that hold people accountable for pulling the kind of nonsense that we saw George Zimmerman pull? And there's this most recent video of a guy who goes out, sees his wife being harassed because evidently she parked in a parking spot. And here you have now this situation where this guy, you know, shoots and kills this guy. Let's see if we got Brett on the line. Brett, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you and me.
Okay, great.
So, you know, walk me through why this piece now.
Sure. Well, Stand Your Ground has been an issue for a while, and it's the law in, I can't remember how many states, but it's too many. My home state of Ohio is currently has a bill in the legislature that just passed the House the other day. It hasn't passed the Senate yet, but it's a Stand Your Ground bill. Now, for those who might not be familiar with Stand Your Ground and what it is, it basically operates like this. In most states, you're allowed to defend yourself. You're allowed to defend yourself on up to the point of using deadly force, for example, with a gun. But in most states, if you're out in public, if you're out just amongst people, you have what's called a duty to retreat, which basically means that if you can find a way not to kill, right, then you should take that option.
Right.
Okay. Where, you know, if there are no options and you're cornered or something like that, you're allowed to use deadly force. But for most of us, we at least have to consider the possibility of retreating. The only two places where this rule isn't in place is one, in your car, and two, in your home. If someone enters either one of these places with bad intentions, you do not have to retreat. You're not required in any way to do that. And you can go ahead and respond with deadly force. Now, what Stand Your Ground does is basically,
You lost the audio. So it's to pick up what Brett was saying. You know what this Stand Your Ground now does is, you know, and look, I perfectly get the idea that in your home, you know, you shouldn't have to retreat. In your car, you shouldn't have to retreat. That you should be able to defend yourself and not have to run away. I get that. But, you know, you see these scenarios come up in public where people think, you know, I've got this right, this access. And, you know, now I'm invincible, and it's just crazy. And let's see if we got Brett back. We're just going to move on from this. Sorry, Brett. it has been a tech nightmare evening for us. We'll try and get him on the phone if we got him. But, you know, here's one of the things that gets me about this. And, you know, it's the real frustrating part of all of this is that, like with the George Zimmerman thing, here was a guy who's looking for trouble. I truly don't want people who are being harmed, who are being stalked, who are, you know, being attacked. I don't want them harmed. But when you create scenarios where, you know, now you're looking for those troubles, you're looking for those scenarios, those situations where you can now turn around and go, you know what, now I feel threatened. You've raised your voice to me. You've raised your hand to me. Now I can pull out my gun and I can shoot you. That's gone way too far. And I remember, you may remember a guy named Joe Horn. This has been going back about 10 years ago. He saw someone robbing his neighbor's house. And the whole conversation came up around, you know, this guy, you know, with forethought, was on the phone with the police going, you know, they're robbing the neighbor's house. You know, they're stealing, you know, TV or whatever they were taking. And he goes, you know, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to go kill those guys. And he says it clear as day on the phone. He's going, I'm going out. I'm going to kill those guys. And he walks out and he shoots them both in the back dead in the neighbor's yard. And, you know, he was under no threat whatsoever. And it began raising some of the questions around, do you pursue the death penalty for, you know, crimes like breaking and entering? Is that now the new standard? Do we go after people for things like that? Is that the new standard? And look, I'm of the mindset that, you know, look, I don't want people in situations where their lives are in danger. I don't want, you know, people in situations where, you know, they're struggling. You know, I want no part of that. But at the end of it, these laws have given, you know, the worst of us an opportunity to go, you know what, man, we're just going to go shoot and kill people because we can. And to me, it's just one of those crazy kind of things that, that, you know, the gun nuts have dreamt up and the gun nuts have pushed through. And as Brett points out in his piece, you know, this woman and their 5-year-old kid were in the car. They had pulled up into a place where, you know, I guess the father was in the store. And, you know, this guy just came out of nowhere for whatever reason. You know, I don't know if he wanted the parking space. I don't know if it was, you know, because, you know, he was going to be the cop on the beat to make sure that no one parks illegally in a handicapped spot. I don't know. But he, you know, he starts yelling at this woman. And look, you know, I look at myself, someone's yelling at my wife and kids. I'm going to step in and I'm going to make sure that I protect my wife and kid. I'm going to make sure I do that. And, you know, now you have this situation where, and the video is clear as day, where this guy, you know, is now, you know, feels threatened. He shoots and kills this guy in front of his kid. And originally, the police were not going to charge him. They were not going to pursue this. And it was just a horrible scenario. We got Brett on the line. Brett, appreciate the time, man.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me back again.
So, you know, walk me through this piece again. You said Ohio's pursuing, you know, this policy, which I got to tell you, I can't understand why, after seeing all of the horrible things that have gone on in Florida, why Ohio would push for this.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly why we would, except that, you know, I suppose some of these guys are reaching for some NRA money, or, you know, there are some local gun groups and things like that I think they might be wanting some money from. But the policy as a whole is a really bad idea for a number of reasons. One, with a policy like this in place, where the criteria for using deadly force is so ill-defined. So, for example, you're allowed to respond to either a threat or a perceived threat with deadly force. And what that does is that leaves open a wide range of activity. What, you know, a perceived threat could be any number of different things. some of them could be, you know, very small. So we have a situation here where there's this giant loophole involved that allows people to use deadly force in a number of situations I don't necessarily think we actually want. But we're leaving that window open anyway. I just think it's a really terrible idea, which is why I wrote the piece I did about it, to kind of let people know what the consequences to this type of behavior are. So, for example, in a state like Ohio, where we allow concealed carry, I have to assume in any encounter that the person I'm meeting is armed. I have to assume it because, right, you know, concealed carry is allowed. On top of that, any perceived threat can cause that person to respond with deadly force. So if I raise my voice a little bit, if I'm, you know, visibly angry but not physically angry, again, any number of these different things could cause someone to pull out a concealed weapon and potentially shoot me. So any confrontation is now life or death, which is the problem. You know, if every confrontation, large or small, is now a potential reason to use deadly force, then every confrontation we get into out in the world is, you know, is a life or death struggle because the law demands it. So that changes behaviors. So, for example, in the case of Marquise McLaughlin, the gentleman in Florida who was killed, he intervened in a situation where a man with a gun approached his wife and was, you know, and was arguing with her. And he comes out, notices this, shoves the man out of the way. Now, the man fell to the ground, but he did not pursue him. And then the response to that perceived threat was that the man on the ground pulled out a gun and shot him in front of his 5-year-old boy and his girlfriend and their 2 other children who were in the back seat of the car. And that man died in an instance where many people out there could see this as a reasonable response to what he saw coming out of the store. So now I'm in a situation where, you know, I ask myself, as I watch this guy die over and over again on YouTube, I ask myself, how could this have been different? How could this have turned out different? And I only come up with one possibility. There's only one way this situation could have turned out differently. Because if Marquise McLaughlin had shouted at this man, he's just as likely to get shot. You can't expect him to walk in and say, "Excuse me, sir," when the guy is
yelling at his wife and kids.
Exactly. So the only real response is not just to push the man out of the way,
but shoot him right there.
Or follow him to the ground and make sure he doesn't get up. When you think about the things that no father will put at risk, you know, the idea that I may not be able to go home and raise my kids, that's the only possible outcome, which is the argument I make in the piece I wrote, why I might have to kill you, is because the law tells me I might have to kill you. So, you know, if we get into a disagreement in the street, I have to assume you have a gun and I have to assume you're going to use it. My options are none, unless I want to end up, you know, unless I want to end up dead. If I want to go home to my wife and kids, I have to do something horrible. It removes human decency from the equation. So, for example, with Marquise McLaughlin, who pushed the man to the ground but then stopped, that was decency. He didn't want to hurt that man. He wanted that man out of the way. He wanted that man to stop what he was doing. But he wasn't looking to take that man's life. He just wanted him away from the situation, away from his wife and kids, and that got him killed. His own decency is the reason he died. And I think that's absolutely horrible, but that is the law as it is written and as we are trying to write it here in Ohio, which is why I'm so firmly against it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense to create this environment. And I remember the George Zimmerman thing, and I talked about this a minute ago. That, you know, when I was a kid, and, you know, we're about the same age, so I'm sure, you know, it was probably the same thing for you. If you started a fight and you got your butt kicked, you got your butt kicked. And if you went home and you told your parents told you, you started the fight, you got your butt kicked, you deserved it. You should have got your butt kicked. But to now say that you start a fight, you get your butt kicked, you can now kill somebody is completely, completely out of bounds in my view.
Yeah, and in the case of Trayvon Martin, when you look at the events that led up to that, you know, he followed that kid through the neighborhood. He called police, and police told him to stop following the kid, leave it alone, they will handle it. He kept pursuing the kid, forced an altercation, then lost, and responded with deadly force. And yet, you know, and yet while he was put on trial, you know, in most cases, like, for example, the case in Florida I was talking about with Mr. McLaughlin, that the sheriff initially let that guy go, said there's nothing I can do about it. Stand Your Ground protects this guy, so I can't arrest him. So in a situation that, you know, where things are, where the justice system is that skewed, is that off, you know, we all have to watch out, because it's the Wild West out there.
No, it is crazy. So let me ask you the other side of this, for the person who says, well, I'm just trying to protect myself. You know, what should the law look like? I mean, because, you know, you're not going to say that you're not going to let an aggressor, you know, do harm to you. You know, so what is the what should be the standard, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, there's a number of arguments out there about the virtue of a concealed weapon. For example, if you're gonna allow people to carry guns, why have them conceal those guns? I don't know what the virtue of that is, other than giving you the ability to ambush, which is not necessarily an ability I want people to have. But you know, that's kind of beside the point. The idea that if you're gonna carry a weapon, I think that duty to retreat, the law has to give you a pretty high bar in terms of your ability to use that weapon, at least out in public.
Right.
Now, I can understand the castle doctrine. Someone walks into my house, I'm not asking, why are you here? You know what I mean? I'm not saying, oh, gee, can I get out a window? No, it's on at that point. I can understand that. But, you know, same thing with people being in their car. Someone tries to steal your car or something like that. I can understand responding with deadly force. But this idea of just bumping into someone in public, you know, and having every opportunity, every ability to de-escalate or get away from that, but the fact that you don't have to. Because keep in mind, a lot of these folks, a lot of the gun-crazy folks out there are out there looking for fights not to retreat from.
No, they're looking to stand their ground, which is, you know, aptly named. And I look at this and, you know, I think the people who push this poison, you know, they have this mindset of what the Wild West looked like, and they want to recreate their version of the Wild West. And I like to remind people that the Wild West, a number of towns were gun-free zones. The only person who had a gun was the sheriff.
That's right. And, you know, and maybe those towns were the nicer places to live. But when it comes down to, you know, to these particular kinds of laws, I just think that we have to, you know, we have to make these laws with a particular respect for human life. And I don't find it in Stand Your Ground. I just don't. And then when you throw in some of the other factors of, you know, who the shooters and who the people being shot tend to be, there's a whole lot of other pretty ugly stuff that enters into the equation.
Yeah.
Because the victims tend to look like each other, and the shooters tend to look like each other. And that doesn't paint a very nice picture either.
No, and you're right. I mean, that's the unfortunate part of this. And it's not just, you know, crazy people walking around looking for trouble. We have some law enforcement problems with that as well.
Yeah, in fact, law enforcement, you know, doesn't want these bills. You know, they don't want these rules in place, because it really changes each and every interaction that they have with the public, especially in situations when you have to give someone a ticket, or you have to give someone bad news, or that you may potentially have to arrest someone. Now you've got a whole new set of criteria that you constantly have to be at the ready. And mistakes are going to be made. And mistakes have been made in many cases by police officers who have extensive training in how to handle these weapons. And now we've essentially passed those same decision-making responsibilities onto the public, who has none of this training. Even if you do have a concealed carry license, even if you did do, you know, the coursework and things like that, you don't have near the training of a police officer. Yet we've got people out there making decisions about life and death that are very similar to the ones police officers make. And I just don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's scary, scary times. And the hope is that folks in Ohio will rise up and push back against this. I think it's a horrible idea. But Brett, good on you. Good piece. I hope people will take a look at it. We'll make sure we tweet it out and people get a chance to take a look at Why I Might Have to Kill You, written by Brett Pransky. Brett, always great talking with you, man.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
It's desperate times, so desperate measures we explore. Marching on the Capitol to lobby leaders for involvement. 3,000 people screaming out.
Where's our government?
Lawsuits and arraignment.